we consider so many people Christians. You know, let's not mess this up, okay? Because there are millions of people, I'm sure, that consider themselves Christians, and just because they say it doesn't mean they are it, okay? We've got to remember, most people today that think they're Christians are following the laws of Judaism. They're not Christians. If they're trusting in Judaism and what they're doing and things like that for their salvation, that's not a gospel at all, is what Galatians says. The gospel today, the good news for today, is the fact that we have trusted in what Christ did at the cross, wholeheartedly trusting in that is what saves me by counting on it. Okay? That's Christianity. Right? So you got to remember, just because somebody says, well, they say they're a Christian, just because there's a building on every block and at every corner tonight, today, that says they're a Christian church, does not make them a Christian church. Now, that would be very unpopular, I know, but those are things you need to think about as you hear people say, well, he's a Christian. Doesn't make him a Christian. So you're here to defend the gospel that Paul talked about. We talked about this morning that the Apostle Paul dealt with. Paul Summey in class this morning, we dealt on those things that Paul was sharing in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians about shadowing the cross, about the wisdom and the knowledge that is given to us is nothing like the wisdom and the knowledge given in the world. But if you look at the world's eyes today, if they see a Christian college, what we call a Christian college, or what we would know today as a seminary, people all over the world today see all these different churches and these buildings and these words like theological, biblical studies and all these words doesn't make it true and doesn't make it Christian just because they say it. That's what you are up against today when you're defending the gospel of grace. Because they have totally changed the whole cycle and have turned it into where they feel like they're part of Judaism. They won't say Judaism. Instead, they'll tell you to follow the commandments, to follow the red letters, to understand the Old Testament under Moses. They'll put Peter, James, and John right along with Paul. And that is Judaism with Paul added. Because they think Paul's the same way. So you've got a gospel to defend that is true, and if it's not, you'll never defend it if you don't believe that. And if you don't believe that, you can call yourself a Christian all day long. It doesn't make you one at all. Today we're in a society where we go online, and if something's said from a news report, we just take that as, well, it's got to be true. I found it on Google. If you believe everything Google says, let me tell you are messed up. Right? But we just have this tendency, because we happen to look over our shoulder and we see something on a TV in a restaurant, that somebody says something that it's just true. And that's what we're messed up again with. We're in a world that's full of deception. That's exactly the way Satan wants it. You hear today all day, I'll give you an example. They say, they'll tell you that God is in control. Let me tell you what, the God of this world is Satan. I didn't say it, the Word says it. Now, don't get me wrong, God is ultimately in control of this whole plan and seeing it come forth. But He has taken His hands off of things, and still His plan will come into being, right? Regardless. His plan will always manifold itself and manifest itself, but He has given choice to us to make right choices. In the same way, He tells you the principalities of this air, the God of this world, is Satan, right? So those are the things that you're up against when people are on Facebook praying for God's kingdom to come. Well, let me tell you what. If you're a Christian, you won't be here when His kingdom comes. You'll be in heavenly places. That kingdom is for Judaism. It's for Israel. Okay? So, those things that people say, words mean a lot if you want to know the truth. But today, people don't want to know the truth. We talked about today, there's so much gray in a world that's black or white. And people don't like that. I don't like that. You know, if I asked you if I was overweight, I'd much rather you say, not really, you know. I know what I am, okay? You'd be better off just saying, yeah, you're overweight. But we won't do that. I'm just giving an example. We just don't do that. Because it hurts their feelings, even though typically I've heard, I can't remember who it was, but he says, you know, if your wife asks you, that dress makes you look big, it probably does, but you may not want to say it. They wouldn't have asked the question if they didn't think about it, right? People know the truth. They can see the truth, right, with their eyes. Just in the same way you can see the truth in the Word if it's rightly divided. But that's too hard, and we have to change the way we are. There is truth, and there is untruth. There is no, well, that's kind of true. If it's kind of true, it's a lie. It's not true. Right? Either that or God is in a gray matter also, because He says in His Word, He is truth. Right? So you can take it how you want, but these things are important, how we divide the Word. We'll give a couple of examples of the difference in today, how society looks at giving. What's the church say today in the South about giving? 10%. I get tickled today in churches today that are all across America tell you to give 10%. But if you actually study the giving laws in the Old Testament, it's 20%. Okay? It's not 10%, it's 20%. They don't want 10% today. Somewhere along the line, it's changed. Okay? But not only that, I get tickled at the churches today is after the giving of 10%, what else happened when Christ walked the earth? He was crucified, dead, and buried, and was resurrected. Peter realized what was going on at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And then in Acts 2, 3, and 4, what did the Jewish church do? They gave it all. They sold their land, their property. They would come into the tabernacle and they would lay their belongings to the feet of the apostles. I don't see any churches today giving all they have, walking in every week, saying, this is what I earned, here you go. Because in Acts chapter 2, 3, and 4, when they laid it at Peter's feet and the other apostles, they would divide it out as people had need. Okay? It just don't happen, but yet, there's people today preaching Judaism and he didn't give 10%. Which part? Did they just pick what they like? I mean, think about it, guys. They just pick what they like. Well, if they're going to follow all the Bible, then they need to be selling their land. They need to be laying it at the feet. They need to be doing those things. They need to be giving it to the church. Right? Well, it's not the issue, but they say, well, we follow this way. We follow the red letters. What did Christ tell the guy to do? To sell all that he had, right? About being saved. He was a Gentile, right? He walked away how? Sorry. But nobody takes that part of the red letters, do they? Instead, they just kind of close on to the 10%. And then they didn't even 10% to study it. It's 20% because they had to pay the Levites to make a living too, because they didn't work. They were busy being priests. Right? But that's an issue. Give me an example. Go to the tithe. Go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Last book on what a lot of people think is the Old Testament, even though it's not the last book, it's fifth from the last. Because you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that are Old Testament scriptures. Malachi chapter 3. Starting, I'll tell you what, go to verse 8. This is what your churches of today use, or their so-called churches. I would call them a fraternity or a club, because you have membership that you got to go into. Before you, you know, it's funny, it's harder today to become a member of an organization that calls herself a church than it is to be saved. Isn't that amazing? That's a sad picture, isn't it? Okay, chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. So we know in Judaism that was the issue. Back up and go to Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18 and go to verse 21. This is where people get caught up in the tent. This was just to the Levites, okay? Church, so-called church, so-called pastors love this because this is where they say that this is where we make our living. In Numbers 18:21, and behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Clubs and fraternities that call their church self churches today go all the way back to Numbers 21. They go to Malachi. They say, you give a tithe, you give an offering, you give a certain percentage of what you make. And then there's the argument, well, is it before taxes or after taxes? I would venture to say most people today give after taxes. Sorry, you earned the gross. You didn't earn the net. They ought to go ahead and give the, you know, the gross, shouldn't they? And some will. It's amazing all the rules and regulations that follow today in these so-called churches that are so-called Christians. Let's be honest. This is the truth. Hey, well, let's look at giving that Paul saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And look at verse 6. Second Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, I love the places today, the so-called churches today, will take the tent, and they'll take the tithes and offering, and we'll talk to you and make you feel guilty about robbing God, okay? And then they'll throw this in there with it in 2 Corinthians, and they'll say, you know why you don't have anything? Because you don't give enough. Well, let me tell you what. This sowing sparingly is dealing with reading the Word and gaining wisdom and knowledge. This giving and all these things are dealing with you profit by that man that studies, that teaches. You know how you profit? Through the Word. Okay? And let's carry on. Verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. I'm missing the tent there. There's no tent. There's nothing here about that. It says, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. Maybe I'm crazy, or maybe you are, or I don't know. Maybe we all are. But have you ever just gotten that lump sum that you worked for? And you always felt guilty about giving the tenth, you know? And you almost, you needed to pay something off, or you were behind in something, you know? And you felt like, man, if I give that, I don't know. Did you give grudgingly? Absolutely you do. We don't want that money. The issue, God loves a cheerful giver. If you give to this building today the way we believe, and you need that money to take care of some business, or you have a problem giving up that money, don't give it. Just don't give it. You know what will happen? If everybody has that attitude and they don't give cheerfully by how they feel like they're gaining and they're profiting from this service will die. It's so simple. I love the fact that if you don't pay the bills, we won't have a church. If you do pay the bills and there's a little one that comes in, we can do some more stuff. If we don't, then we just won't be able to. Do you see the freedom in that? You know, if we don't bring enough money in, we write down the bills that we have to figure out, okay, what do we get rid of? We can't afford the internet? Cut it off. We're not going to blame God for it, and we're not going to blame you for it. Right? The church today will make you feel guilty. They'll take you back to Numbers. They'll take you to Malachi. They'll make you feel guilty, and you'll give grudgingly, even though they still use that scripture too. But they don't keep going. It's just a melting pot of stew is all it is. Well, which one are you going to take? Because this doesn't talk about the tenth. Doesn't talk about robbing God. It talks about how you sow and what you'll reap. If we sow sparingly, we will not reap. Right? We're not here to learn the word and grow as a body that becomes the same mind because we can't afford to do it. Then we won't reap anything, will we? But if we do and we give cheerfully and we're gaining from it and it's a joy to give, we gain from that, right? This is so simple. But today it's a guilt in Judaism is what it is. Look, you don't see in Malachi or in Numbers them say, you know what? Don't give grudgingly. I guarantee you those people, there were times they had hard times and they still had to give. Because God would bless them by being obedient. Let me tell you something. If you're low in money and you've got the power bill and you decide, you know what? I've got to give anyway. I'm promising you now, chances are your power bill's going off. You're not going to find $152.38 in your mailbox from an angel or from somebody that put it in there. The only way you're going to find that is if you ask somebody to let you borrow that money, or you tell them, you know what, I gave to the church and I just don't have the money. Isn't it amazing? Then when the money shows up, well, don't tell them. It'll just show up. That's what they are. I mean, I can sell you, here, give me $150, you get this magic marker from God. I mean, that's what you see on TV today. And you'll be blessed. It's a lie. Because the Word doesn't say it. You know, I love these guys that are on there that talk about Isaiah 52 or something. And if you'll give $52, and, you know, they're idiots. But they consider themselves Christians. Because they go to a church that considers themselves a Christian church. But they operate on the rules of a Jewish church, is what they do. But in verse 6 through 9, through 8, look, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You know what? As a body, if we give, and we give the men, and we take care of the church, and the bills of the church, and we're able to continue in services and things like that, we'll reap from that, won't we? If we don't, we'll cut it off. It's the way it is. Verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. What does that mean? To purpose in your heart? It's the same matter when you choose to go buy a car. You don't just say, I like that one, just send me the bill and then I'll figure out how I can pay for it. No, you know what you do? You set, you budget, you become smart, and you budget that money aside, or you're going to lose that car later. They're going to come and pick it up, right? So you think about it. You budget. If this church is a benefit to you and you grow from it and you enjoy it, then budget what you can give to this church. You purpose. You make it purpose in your heart. And in the same way you pay your light bill every month, you pay the church every month. And if you pay the church bountifully, you'll grow bountifully. You will profit from it through the Word. Not through getting some new raise or God giving you this thing. Don't work it. The issue is you purpose in your heart. You step back and you decide, these are my bills. This is what I have to pay. I would love to give the church some. I'm either going to have to give something up or either I have some money I'm going to set aside just for the church. That's budgeting is what it's doing. That's what Paul says. He says that way when you give, you have it prepared. It's not like a headache to you. Let me tell you what, headache or not, in Judaism, you better give. You better give. Right? I mean, that was the issue. Do you see the difference and the difference in the Gospels? The good news? The good news for them is even if they had a hard time, if they gave their best anyway, God would bless them. And they could count on that. The good news for us is if we don't have the money, we still have the Word. And we can profit from the Word, but we can profit more as a body that's together if we have those that purpose in their heart how to continue this ministry so that others can see this ministry, so that others can come in and see this truth. And he says, and every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. What was it in times past? Now, let me ask you this. If the whole Bible in giving, from Numbers all the way to where we're at in Corinthians, is all of it's true, and it's all the same, okay? Did they give of necessity? God said, you're robbing me if you don't give. What did Paul say? Not of necessity. Right? Which one is it? These Gospels are not the same. You can go to giving and show where the Gospels are not the same. Right? He says, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Let me tell you what. If you gave cheerfully in times past, and it wasn't the right amount, did God love you? No, He says, you're a thief. Give me more. Look at it. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound. Now, why do we give? Why do we purpose in our heart? So grace can what? Abound. That's what you're talking about this morning, Paul. About things being abound. The message needs to be clear, because today there are millions going to hell, okay? Because they believe they're going to follow the laws of Judaism. Let's face it. If they're trusting in what they're doing instead of Christianity, then grace is not abounding. If we say we need to, if we say things that are true for us as our doctrine in the Old Testament, okay, then we pervert the gospel. Right? And so you've got to know the difference, even in your giving. Verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having what? All sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now this is where you go back to the Isaiah 52, give me $52, and you'll this will happen. You'll say, see? No. The issue of grace abounding is the issue of you knowing the word. And having all sufficiency. Have you ever given and you didn't get anything back? Was the word true? You know where your sufficiency comes for every good work? Knowing the word. The good works here ain't works like the commandments. It's not works like if you did. It's to every good work is to do what? What are we supposed to be? Ministers of reconciliation. The good works that we bestow upon people is by profiting, by knowing the word, so that we can share about grace, so grace may abound. That's it. If you're looking to get something physically or tangibly, okay, from your giving, quit giving. Because you ain't going to get it that way. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen at all. Don't count on it. If you're into Judaism, you're right. You're still going to be disappointed, because God don't operate that way. Now, you're not going to disappoint the pastors. They're going to love it. They can make you feel guilty to give more, and they're going to get a new car from God. That's what they're going to do. How God blessed them with it. You know how He blessed them with it? He didn't. The Satan, God of this world, deceived the congregation to give more out of guilt so that the so-called pastor could be nourished, saying you're Israel and you're not. It's a full wrap. Well, we talk about grace abounding, right? Well, let's look at grace. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1:13. 1 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse 13. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 13, the word says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, what did grace mean for those under Peter, James, John, to Israel in the Old Testament? That they would hope until the end. No matter what troubles they come across, see, what's Peter thinking when he's writing 1 Peter? Read 2 Peter and you'll find out. They think they're in the tribulation, buddy. They're being persecuted. Those that little flock, they're dying out. Okay? They're dying, okay? They are dying in their faith. They remain faithful. They endure to the end. And he's saying, hold on. Because they think he's coming. And he says, our hope is in the end because Christ is going to come. There's going to be a revelation of Jesus Christ. Why do they say that? He's going to send his kingdom up. Right? So, grace for Judaism, grace for Israel was what? Hope for it to the end. Okay? You know what churches tell you to do today? They give you the word. If you'll just do this. If you'll carry this, and you'll go to this next ladder, if you'll just... I mean, that's what churches do today. They have you hope that it's going to happen. Right? That's what you'll see today all over Facebook is that about His kingdom to come. Okay? So that's what you. That's what 1 Peter talks about. Go to Luke 17. Luke 17. In Luke 17, look at verse 30. Look at grace. Tell me, go to verse 28. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Do y'all remember the story here? You ever sat in church? And they think, man, it is just like that today. And it is. They're not lying about that. It's that way today. They don't think about it. But this is this destruction. You don't see any grace here, do you? And look at verse 29. I mean, verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Do you see that? It's the issue. They were waiting on this grace. They were waiting. It was something huge that was going to come. Christ is telling them about it here. Okay? Now, look at grace for us. Go to Romans 5:2. Romans 5:2. Tell you what, start in verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that justified by faith, that's not justified by your faith. That's by the faith of Christ. Look at verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into what? Into this grace. Wherein we what? Stand. We ain't waiting on it. When you recognize the faith of Christ saved your soul, you immediately are baptized by the Holy Spirit. You have access by faith in Christ in grace. You are in grace. Now, we still may have physical problems. We may not be perfect. But you know what? When it comes to our salvation, we are justified by the faith of Christ. Look, into this grace, wherein what? We got to wait for at this certain day when Christ comes. No. What do? I stand in it. Right now, you can say all you want about me. I can be stricken anyway physically. But the issue is, my stance is I am in grace by the faith of Jesus Christ. I count on that. I don't have to wait for it. I already have it. It's nothing I have to hope for. It's what I hope in. See, I don't hope for grace by enduring to the end. I hope in grace. That means it's not a hope so. It's a hope. It's my trust. It's what I count on today. Okay? And he goes on, he says, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. One more. Go to Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians 1:3. In Ephesians 1:3 it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, that means a little bit, hath, means it's been done, right? Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. The issue is, we have grace today. We are in grace through Christ. Right? That's the issue. Can't believe it's already been that long. But two things. Giving. You can see the difference in the Gospels and in grace. If you say you're Israel, or you're under Judaism today, then your giving and your grace are absolutely different. Absolutely different in Christianity. How are they different? Well, when giving was about it, don't matter whether you liked it or not, you did it. Giving today is purpose in your heart. If this ministry, if you're benefiting from it, and you're growing from it, then purpose in your heart how you should give to this ministry so that what? Grace may abound. See, their grace couldn't abound yet, but they're hoping for it at the end. And it's going to happen when we're out of here. Our grace today is the very thing that we stand in. You know why we're a grace church? Because that's the very thing we count on that we have our hope in, not our hope for. It's there. It's established. It's how we're established. Okay?